This is the only game in which it's sometimes better to be wrong than right. It's called Right or Wrong. And right here is the man who's seldom wrong, Clement Freud.
Thank you very much. On my left are Sheila Hancock and Andre Melly, all set to do battle with the two men on my right, John Cleese and Pete Murray. Let me try and tell you how the game works. I ask a question, and the team which wants to answer buzzes or rings. Men buzz, women ring. If the answer is correct and the other team agrees with them, then the first team score 5 points. If they're wrong, but with such conviction the other team thinks they're right, they score 10 points. In other words, you get twice as many points when one team successfully misleads the other, which is the point of the game. You can get double for being right as well, but only if the opposing team thinks that you're wrong. Anyway, you'll see how it works as we go along. Only to add a little extra spice and confusion, each team has been given 4 answers, but neither team knows which 4 answers the other team has. So in this atmosphere of mutual mistrust is the first question. What was the trade or profession of the father of Lady Emma Hamilton? Sheila Hancock.
I know this because I've just recently seen a play that she featured in. He was a farmer.
A farmer? Is that right or wrong?
I think it was said with such lack of conviction. Wrong.
5 points. You're right. He was not a farmer. Sheila Hancock was wrong. You have 5 points.
John is very hysterical, or historical, I should really say.
Thank you.
And I'm sure.
What was the trade or profession of the father of Lady?
Well,
Emma
so far Hamilton? As I remember, this is the Hamilton who married Nelson. Didn't marry Nelson. In fact, but since it's BBC, we'll pretend she did. As far as I remember, he made all his money out of the tea business, so I think he was a tea merchant.
That was said with such conviction, it must be wrong.
Wrong.
That's 5 points to you.
Because he was an innkeeper.
Would you like to come to a quick amicable agreement?
Go on, you go.
Innkeeper.
Definitely an innkeeper.
Wrong, insufficiently upper class.
Upper class?
5 points. Never mind. 5 points. The substance was correct. What was the profession of Lady Hamilton? Lady Emma Hamilton's father.
Well, John, I'm loath to say it because I know you know the answer. There's no point in my saying anything at all. I mean, I know that you've been bluffing them up. Now, let's give them the real facts now.
All right, we'll read it off the paper on which we have the correct answers.
Right.
He was a stockbroker.
He's pretending. Rubbish. He wasn't.
You're right, he was not. 5 points. There's now a bonus of 15 points.
Well, it's your turn.
Blacksmith. He was a blacksmith.
All right. What, are you going to go along with that?
I don't know. I don't like the way she's looking at me.
She's crafty.
Well, look at everybody.
Very crafty. They're sort of sniggling between each other there. What do you think, John?
Well, you've got it on the papers.
She's looking so cool at the moment, sipping a glass of water. I think she's right.
You're quite right.
I didn't say it as well.
The girls get 15 points. They do not get 30 because they did not successfully fool the men. They now have 25 points. The men have 10 points. Lady Emma Hamilton's father was a blacksmith. And we come to the next question, which is, if 3 men can dig 3 holes in their communal garden in 2.5 weeks, how long will it take 1 man to dig 0.5 hole? John Cleese.
1.25 weeks.
No!
1.25 weeks.
1.25 weeks.
3 men dig 3 holes in their concerted gardens
in how many weeks?
Communal garden.
The communal garden.
2.5 weeks. Or 17 and a half days.
Oh,
how many men to do
it?
What?
How long will it take? 1?
I don't care.
How long will it take one man to dig half a hole?
One man to dig half a hole.
Two and a half weeks, wasn't it, the whole thing?
I have my 7-year-old daughter in the audience, but she can know the answer.
Six days.
6 days.
Well, I thought they were going to say whether I was right or wrong. Not counting.
You're wrong.
You were wrong.
5 points.
Three men dig three holes. 6 days.
2.5 weeks.
I was wrong.
Yes.
Three men dig three holes.
No.
You are now assessing the merit or otherwise of 6 days as an answer to the same question.
No, it's totally inapt.
It's correct. Mm. 5 points.
Yes, yeah.
Can we have the figures again?
Yes.
We can cut this out.
There'll be a bonus of 25 points.
25 points.
If three men can dig three holes in their communal garden in 2.5 weeks, how long would it take one man to dig half a hole?
I think it's 2.5 days.
2.5 days. Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
No, it's wrong. It's
correct.
2.75 days.
2.75 days for 10 points.
I think the universe has ceased to function as I know it. So I'm
I am going to give you the answer to this before anything nasty and ugly happens. Ian Messiter states it is not possible to dig half a hole.
No.
Well, I'm glad I didn't get the answer to that, because it's silly.
We move smoothly to who invented the telescope? Sheila Hancock.
No, I'm going to be wrong. Galileo.
Well, that's what I thought. It's too obvious, so it's wrong.
It's correct. 5 points.
Oh.
It is wrong.
it's probably Mr. Halley who discovered Halley's Comet, which was first seen extremely long time ago, 1066, so they didn't have telescopes then. So I think it was Mr. Halley, the original Mr. Halley.
What do you mean, he invented it in order to see his comet?
Well, either that, or as a result of inventing it.
Wrong.
5 points. Bonus of 10. Who invented the telescope?
In its primitive form, Da Vinci.
Da Vinci.
Wrong.
10 points. Wrong.
Very glib, I thought that, didn't you, John?
Yes.
Yeah.
Much too glib. Norman Goose Posture. No.
No. That was a microscope.
Fritz Hans. Hans lip.
I think it's right, because with all that production, it sort of must be right.
He is right.
I don't know how you were supposed to look as if you guessed that.
It was Hans Lippershey. Galileo used it as the model for his version. And the boys have 80 points, the girls 75. I'm going to play you a tape, and I want you to identify the speaker.
Je suis venu ici en 1913, juste avant la Première Guerre. Et alors, j'ai été l'hôte de la mission américaine, parce que les Américains ont été les...
It's not Edward Heath.
Who would like to start?
Le marché commune.
I think it's some...
You haven't rung your what's it?
Beg your pardon. I think it's some elderly French gentleman, extremely elderly, who remembers some strange event early on, which was something to do with the balloons coming out of the Paris Commune in 1871.
What is he on?
The balloons with which they communicated with
the
other
sympathetic group. Or just any commune?
No, I think the Paris Commune, the green one.
The man who remembered the balloons emerging from the Paris Commune.
What was his name?
No, that's enough.
That's enough.
If you believe it was he, I'll give it to you.
No, it's not quite right.
Fine, 5 points.
Because I think it was the Frenchman whose name escapes me, who flew over the channel, possibly in a balloon if that's necessary.
Yes, I accept that.
Yes, I do too.
You're wrong.
Oh.
The girls get 10 points for successfully fooling you.
Ah.
It was Dr. Albert Schweitzer.
Oh,
it was.
We now come to the celebrity spot, and today's celebrity is Henry Cooper. Let me explain what happens. Henry Cooper will read a potted autobiography, which will contain one deliberate mistake upon which the teams will play right or wrong. You ready to start?
Ready, sir. I was born the 3rd of May, 1934, in a hospital in Westminster, and the family moved to Bellingham in South London when I was about 4 years old. I went to Athelney Street School and left when I was 15. The first boxing I ever did was at the Bellingham Amateur Boxing Club. In 1952, I won the ABA Championships. In the same year, going to the Olympic Games in Helsinki, where I lost to a Russian in the second series. And it was in 1952 that I went into the Army, started my 2 years national service in the Royal Army Ordnance Corps. During that time, I won a second ABA title. When I left the Army in 1954, I turned professional, and Jim Wicks managed my brother and myself for nearly 17 years. In that time, I won the British, the Commonwealth, and the European titles. I won 2 Lonsdale belts outright, and I am the only British boxer ever to do this. I also became the longest reigning British champion by beating Bombardier Billy Wells' record of nearly 10 years. I fought the world champion Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, or whatever you like to call him, in 1963 and 66, losing on a cut-eye decision.
There we are. Who would like to start the cross-examination? Andre Millie.
I think that you say you won the ABA Championship in 52 in the same year, the Olympics. I think the Olympics was the year after.
Is that right or wrong?
That's wrong. Wrong, yeah.
Quite right, 5 points. Olympic Games take 4 years to... Anyway, right. Do you agree with me?
That was quite right.
I think that Henry, in fact, said he won 2 Lonsdale belts outright. He won 3 Lonsdale belts outright.
How do you feel about that?
I should think it's more than likely that he did. Lots more, I would think, Andre, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes. Right. He did win more than 2.
Henry, you won 3 Lonsdale belts.
3 Lonsdale belts, yes.
And towards the 4th?
I'd 1 notch on the 4th belt, yes.
So it was very, very good guessing, or...
But we don't get any points. They get the points, the girls, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You get points for a correct identification, but you don't get double the points because you didn't fool them.
Oh.
I was going to say he didn't lose to a Russian at the Olympic Games because I didn't think that was possible, but it was before my time.
Can I ask how you win a Lonsdale belt?
Well, you have to win the British title once and then defend it successively twice. So it means winning three. I had 9 fights altogether. 9 titles.
Can you wear them?
Well, they're like a little bit cumbersome. They're no good for keeping your trousers on. But you can wear them.
You must have trophies galore at home, haven't you? What on earth do you do with them all?
Well, quite a few, yes. Well,
you keep them on
they're here, there and everywhere, bits and pieces, and all over the house, you know. Dust traps, as the wife says.
Oh, just dust.
Henry,
I ask you a question? What happened to the Russian who beat you in Helsinki?
I think he got beat in the semi-final, I think, or something. Well, I can't think now. So it took me so long ago, I even forget.
Now in the salt mines. Of all the treasured possessions you've got from boxing, which is the most treasured one you have?
Well, I think basically, the actual trophies I've got.
Memories. Take memories and.
Well, I think the Lonsdale belts are the great thing, because every British fighter, when you start off, it's your ambition to win one. To win three was something fantastic. But I think the memory that will always stay with me is the world title fight with Clay at Ivory in 66. That night there was such a fantastic atmosphere in the audience. It was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I don't think that'll ever be repeated again.
Are you actually aware of the atmosphere when you're fighting? I mean, obviously you are when you come into the ring. But
well, not so much when you're fighting, because once that bell goes, everything outside the ring is black, as when the lights come on and they turn the house lights down or the other lights. So naturally, you're concentrating so much. But previous to that, as I say, when the walking in and the playing of the national anthem.
Yeah, that's great.
I had a lump in my throat like a golf ball and, it's a very moving thing.
Yeah. But I expect when you get in there, you're not particularly aware of anything.
No, not really. Only the other guy.
Henry Cooper, thank you very much for being our celebrity on Right or Wrong.
Great pleasure. Thank you, Clement. Bye.
And from Lonsdale Belt's lumps in throats and things black in the ring, which I suppose is another way of saying Cassius Clay, we go back to Right or Wrong. Who wrote this? Your glazing is new and your plumbing is strange, but otherwise I perceive no change. And in less than a month, if you do as I bid, I'd learn you to build me a pyramid. Andre Melly.
Belloc.
John and Pete.
I thought Belloc was quite good, and I thought that was so awful, so indescribably appalling, that I wouldn't attribute it to Belloc.
So?
They are wrong.
5 points.
On the other hand, who did write it? A man so obscure, clearly, that one would have to pull his name out of the hat. How about, what was his name? Hans Lippershey. Translated from the Swedish.
Wrong.
5 points.
You're no fun anymore.
I know who it was. It was actually, the reason it's so bad, it was written by a man who didn't excel at verse. It was written by Lawrence of Arabia in one of those endless letters he wrote to Mrs. Shaw.
It's a lovely theory, but I think he would have written a good deal better than that.
No, not to her.
10 points.
I think it was written by Billy Bremner.
Yes, I think.
Wrong.
10 points. It's a bonus of 15 now.
The time has come to stop messing about. It was Rudyard Kipling.
Wrong.
30 points to the girls, because they were right.
Oh, fuck. Why did you ask me?
It was Rudyard Kipling, and I agree with John Keyes.
It's the giggle. Poem. That's the give it away.
And the girls now have 135, having got 30 for that, against the boys' 100.
Oh, wow.
If you found a lump of hydrous phosphate of aluminium and copper, what single word could you use to name it?
Iceland spa.
John, please.
Wrong.
You're right.
Could you tell us
again?
5 points.
Hydrous phosphate of aluminium and copper.
A new penny piece.
A new penny piece. How do you feel about that?
A new penny piece? English penny piece?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
One of the metal ones.
She does not... No,
that's
not wrong.
Not 5 points. It is wrong.
Mm. Wrong.
Mm. Bonus of 10 points.
Mm. It's a precious stone. It is a gourmandise.
Get off. No, wrong.
Could you say a get off? I mean, it's very expressive, but if you would just...
Wrong. I just said wrong.
Sorry.
Very wrong.
10 points. Is wrong.
Zinc. Lonsdale belt.
A zinc Lonsdale
ointment.
Belt.
Zinc ointment.
10 points. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
10 points. Bonus of 20 points.
How many behind are we at the moment,
You are 35 points behind.
35 points behind. We've got to be very careful here.
20 points.
I think it is a precious stone.
You said that.
And, yes, but I didn't get the right... What were the ingredients again?
It is hydrous phosphate, aluminium and copper.
Well, I did chemistry, so I know it. Hydrous phosphate is blue. Aluminium is white, so it's... bluish. Reddish. What's a bluish reddish?
Bluish reddish. Bluish reddish. Sounds like a vegetable. Bluish reddish.
Turquoise.
How's that?
No.
It's 40 points to the men because it was right. Which gives the men a 5-point lead.
That's what we're working on.
Did they have it written down?
Yes.
Did you have it written down?
We did.
We did, yes.
You did very well. How many pincers does the North Atlantic lobster have?
Wait a moment, I saw one this morning.
John Cleese.
It had 1, 2, 3 on one side. It had 1, 2 on the other side. And 1 at the back. So it had 6.
Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
No, well, actually, it's... we would have... I'm afraid the first I have to accept...
It's right.
It is right.
Right.
Actually, the first two are relatively large, and the next four on the first two pairs of legs, Ian Messiter says.
That's right.
But 6 is the right answer, so it's 10 points to the men.
And we're
never
mind. Successfully fooling you.
Never mind.
We're now going to play another tape, and I want you to listen... I'll then ask you a question. Right, this piece of music represents one of the planets. I want you to tell me which one. Andre Melly.
Jupiter.
Do you think she's come up with that rather... get her own back on the last one. What do you think?
Well, let's agree, because we don't lose so many points if she's right. Yes.
No.
Oh.
10 points to the girls.
Yep.
It was Mercury, and it's from the planet Sweet by Holst.
Gustav Holst.
Which cyanide is usually used to extract gold and silver from ores?
Pardon?
Which cyanide is usually used to extract gold and silver from ores? Andre Melly.
The usual one.
I don't accept that as an answer.
Potassium cyanide.
Potassium cyanide.
Potassium cyanide.
The men are 5 ahead.
Has a certain ring to it, doesn't it, John?
Well, it's very dangerous extracting anything with cyanide. I think that it is incorrect.
You're correct. It is incorrect.
Right.
Which cyanide? Usually used to extract gold and silver from ores.
Yeah.
Well, now, let's think. Gold and silver.
Yeah.
Heavy metals. Lower end of the periodic table. Therefore, one would need...
Bluish red,
yes. Yeah. Building up effects. Silence was. I think in order to extract heavy metal, you would have to use.
Hurry up!
Sodium. Sodium cyanide.
Sodium cyanide. Right or wrong?
Have you ever heard of it?
I've never heard of any of it.
Sodium.
Not even gold.
When he usually does all that, it's usually right. Isn't it?
He's right.
5 points, he is right.
I didn't know he was right.
Did I?
No, I hadn't the slightest idea I was right.
But it puts the men 15 points ahead. What is the Drummond light?
The Drummond light?
Yes.
Sir Walter Drummond.
Well, what's his light?
Sir Walter Drummond. The Explorer, Antarctic. It is a lighthouse off Tierra del Fuego in Argentina.
Well, either he's an explorer or
wrong.
A
lighthouse. Wrong.
Five
wrong.
Points wrong. Is wrong. What is the Drummond light?
The Drummond light was a kind of lamp invented for coal miners.
No, that was the Davy lamp.
There were others. Different mines have different lights.
The Drummond light.
Drummond.
Is that right?
And we haven't got to say whether
it's right or wrong. It's false. Incorrect.
You're right, it was wrong.
Oh, we're wrong, it was right.
No,
you're in fact, it was wrong.
Wrong.
It was wrong.
What is the Drummond light?
Robert Newton played the part. And it was actually... you were right in the first part a little while ago when you were talking about the... what do they call those things in the sea? The light... What are they called? Lighthouse.
Lighthouse.
Yes. And it was just off Beachy Head. And he was a very interesting man, this man, because he discovered some very interesting rock formations just off Eastport.
With his light, presumably.
Yes, George Drummond.
Wrong. Well, it's a diamond.
Pardon?
It's a diamond.
We've got to recap. Off Beachy Head, wrong. 10 points. What is the Drummond light?
A diamond.
A diamond?
I think that's very good, and I believe that.
So do I.
It's right. 20 points to the girls.
Yes!
In 1825, Thomas Drummond invented limelight, which is known as Drummond light.
Yes,
and
course.
When you said... you mentioned an actor, didn't you?
Robert Newton.
Yes. Was he not in a film called Limelight?
No, that was Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin.
I saw it with...
Robert Newton,
yes.
He's playing you and I. In the future, when the lighting is dim, we say, let's have a drop more of the Drummonds.
Of the old Drummonds.
Yes.
What was or is the stage name of Erich Weiss? Sheila Hancock.
Erich Sykes.
No!
Right or wrong?
Mock me.
There's 10 points between you.
Yes.
The men
Erich
have...
Sykes.
Yes. Yes. You must remember him.
Erich Weiss.
Erich yes. Weiss.
Yes. Of course, you must remember that Erich
Weiss. Yeah. Wrong.
Correct.
Nonsense.
There's now 5 points between you.
Erich Weiss.
The girl's lead.
Erich yes. Weiss.
I think you ought to know this is the last question.
Very well known.
He was Weiss.
Yes, chairman.
Erich Weiss. Yeah. Weiss? Erich.
Erich.
He was... His real name was George Naughty.
No, he was in
That's
fact...
That's 10 points, the girls, because you weren't listening. No. I said, what was or is the stage name of Erich Weiss, not his real name?
Yes.
So it's 10 points, the girls, and it's there...
Oh, well, then we'll tell you. It was Coco the Clown.
That's a very good one.
Very well, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, we like that, I think. We like that. I think we're inclined 10 points to agree with that.
No,
do you think?
No, we don't think we agree
with that.
I think it's wrong.
That's correct. It
yes.
is wrong.
Yeah.
10 points to the men. The girls now lead by 5 points.
It is, in fact, the name of a very well-known film star, not known as Erich Weiss, of course, or Weiss.
So 15-point bonus.
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon.
She said things wrong.
15 points. It was not Jack Lemmon.
Well, if you saw that, there was a thing on television just recently about Houdini, and in that they told you that his name was, in fact, Erich Weiss.
Houdini.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that. I like that.
I don't think they've had all their answers yet.
I like it. And I think that the way...
It's right.
Right.
Beg your pardon.
It is right. It was Houdini.
Yes.
And Houdini gets 15 points for the girls, who finish up winning by 35 points.
Good. Right.
235 for the girls, 200 for the boys. The end of Right or Wrong. Goodbye from Andre Melle and Sheila Hancock, who have beaten John Cleese and Pete Murray. And until next week, goodbye from me.
Your chairman in Right or Wrong was Clement Freud. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Christopher Searle.